1 Samuel chapter number 30. We're looking at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." That has been the burden of my heart for the message today. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I believe that our perseverance as a believer greatly is going to depend on encouragement. Knowing how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Without encouragement, discouragement will prevail. And if discouragement prevails, then we'll probably all quit. But I'm glad there is encouragement in the Lord for us. No matter how difficult, no matter how depressing and distressful that things are, be it known today that there is encouragement in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord, as we said this morning, in a time, in a circumstance that couldn't hardly get any worse. I mean, David was on the bottom. Far as circumstantially, he was on the bottom. He'd come home, returned. You can read the first five verses. You can read how that the Amalekites had invaded the south and had burned and smitten Ziklag and taken all of those men, their wives and their sons and daughters captive. And when David and his army had returned, then they found this tragedy. They found this disaster. And they were discouraged. I mean, they were involved in the Lord's work. They were fighting the enemy and standing for what's right. And then they come home and their homes are destroyed and their families have been stolen and taken captive. And no doubt we cannot comprehend how they felt, how they must have felt. But David encouraged himself. He was the only one out of the whole crowd that this was said about. The rest of them, the Bible said, because they were grieved, they all spake of stoning David. So they weren't interested in praying. They weren't interested in pursuing anything spiritual. They were interested in killing their leader. And David, the Bible says, but I like this word. I didn't point it out or emphasize it this morning. But there in verse number 6, I like that word, but. It described what all the rest was doing. It clumped all of them and grouped all of them in one class. And it showed their grief and it showed their intent. It showed their heartbreak. How they were being controlled by the situation. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. You don't have to go with the flow. Amen. You can be a contradiction to the circumstance. All the circumstance may say everybody's discouraged, everybody's down, everybody's depressed, everybody's discouraged. But you can use that little word but and say, but not me. They may be grieved and controlled by the situation, but I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Now to be what those other men were is easy. To be what those other men were is natural. But to be what David is and to do what David did is not easy, nor is it natural. It is spiritual and supernatural. David found his encouragement was not found in the natural realm, but rather in the spiritual realm. And anything that God gives you has got to come through the spiritual realm, because the Bible says God is a spirit. So everything that God does can only come to you and pass through a spiritual realm for you to get into it, for you to enjoy it. So if you're going to tap into what God is and what God can do and what God can give, then you're going to have to tap into the spiritual realm, and that's only made possible by the Holy Ghost. That right there, if you just get a hold, if you don't get nothing else tonight and you get that right there, it'll help you. If you're going to receive and tap into what God is and what God can do and what God can give, and in the text, encouragement, in discouraging times, then you're going to have to get into His realm. You're going to have to get in His realm, His world, His atmosphere, if you will. And God being a spirit, He only functions in the spiritual realm. Are you listening? But you and I have access, the Bible said in Ephesians, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we talked about David's encouragement this morning, how he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. I'm not going to re-preach them. I want to emphasize a couple of new things the Lord shared with me today about David's encouragement. You remember this morning we talked about David's encouragement was not carnal. You remember that list? David's encouragement was not carnal. And then secondly, David's encouragement was not social. This morning we used the word influential, but a better word would be it is not social. His encouragement was not social. In other words, it didn't come from his social connections and his social activities with other people, because they were all discouraged. They were all distressed. They were all grieved. And then we talked about his encouragement was not circumstantial. Circumstances was very bleak and gruesome. Here's another one the Lord gave me this morning or today. His encouragement was not material. Because everything he had was burnt. The whole city of Ziklag was burnt. So that would probably mean his house was burnt. That would probably imply his possessions was gone. So his encouragement was not material. And then his encouragement was not financial. Amen. You can't go to Walmart and find encouragement on the shelf. You can't go to a store that will provide encouragement, because it is not financial. You can't buy it. And then, of course, we talked about this morning, it was personal. His encouragement was personal. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then we talked about it was practical, and ultimately, to clump all of them together as the most important one, David's encouragement was spiritual. Spiritual. Amen. And I hope we get that. I know that's so simple that if we're not careful, we'll miss it. But that's where his encouragement was. I believe it implies, and I believe it requires, that if encouragement is spiritual, then if I want to be encouraged, then I need to focus on my spirituality. If I'm going to be encouraged, if encouragement is spiritual, then if I'm going to, and I believe it is a spiritual fact that it comes from God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So if I'm going to encourage myself, then it's going to require me to pay attention to my spirituality. Amen. Brother Mark gave me this quote today after the service. Stonewall Jackson said, "Never take counsel from your fears." He said you can go to the VMI mess hall in Virginia, the Virginia Military Institute, and on the mess hall wall is that statement, Stonewall Jackson's quote, never take counsel from your fears. In other words, don't ever let them get into the teaching position. Don't let your fears get into the preaching position. And you become the student to where you're listening. Because when you listen to your fears, it's when discouragement comes. Amen? That's good, isn't it? I believe with that, just that one statement, Brother Mark, we can see why that he became the man, the renowned man that he was, because of that one thing. Never take counsel from your fears. Now, let me deal with some things tonight about this encouragement as found in the Scripture. Now, I don't know that I'll get done, and I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in just dealing with what God wants us to deal with and get it, because we're living in discouraging days. There's more discouragement today in churches than I've ever seen. More preachers discouraged than I've ever seen. I'm serious about that. And it's a battle, friend. I'm telling you, it's a battle. It requires maintenance for me to stay up. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about working to be spiritual. I'm talking about, my friend, keeping a good attitude regardless to what's going on around you. So here's what I want to deal with tonight, if the Lord will help me. Number one, I want us to look at encouragement defined. I want to know what it means. What does the Bible say about it? And there's more than I could, I don't have it all because I just cut it off. I just said, Lord, I got more now than I can preach. I don't see how people can study and just and not have nothing to say. I mean, it's in there. The Bible is God's Word. If you study it any at all and dig in it any at all, you're going to strike oil every now and then. But let me just give you a few things that I found out or the Lord gave to me in my study. I just simply want to point this one out. It's very simple, but it's, I think, worth noting. Look at the word encourage or look at the word discourage. What is the word right in the middle of that? Courage. So that's the matter at hand when you're talking about encouragement or discouragement. You're talking about whether you've got courage or a loss of it or a lack of it. So discouragement is really a loss or a lack of courage. Encouragement is someone that is having their courage refreshed and renewed. But here's the definition of the word encouraged. Boy, I got, Lord, give me some good stuff, I think, anyway. It fed me. The word encouraged, and I'm going to give you these, and then I'm going to go back and just kind of comment on them a little bit. And then I want us to look at some other scriptures that this word encouraged, where David encouraged himself in the Lord, I want to go and look at just a few of them. And see how that word is used in other places to let us know kind of what David had in mind. Man, I don't know if I can get it out or not, but it fed my soul. The word encouraged, and if you need these definitions, I've got them, and I'll be glad to give them to you after the service. It means to fasten upon, means to strengthen. It means to cure, to repair, to fortify, to help, to grow firm. I like that. So if you just put those definitions in the verse, you will find that when David encouraged himself in the Lord, he fastened upon the Lord. Amen. And it also means to strengthen. So when David encouraged himself, David strengthened himself. And David encouraged himself or he cured himself. Also means repair. So when a man or a woman encourages themselves in the Lord, they are repaired. Fortified. David fortified himself. David helped himself. David grew firm and hardened himself. Now watch this. Now you could go and you could look at the opposite of each one of them definitions and find out what discouragement means. If those that I gave you was the definition of encouragement, you can look at the opposite and know what discouragement is. And I hope tonight, after we get done and the service tonight, that you will never look at discouragement lightly again. I hope that we will hate it. When discouragement starts creeping into our life, that we will not look at it with favor or tolerance, but that we will look at it, as I'll show you in a minute, as a snake to fasten upon. If that's what encouragement means, then discouragement tells us basically, or what that mean there is, to fasten upon means to get a hold of. You ever heard somebody say, get a hold of yourself? Get a hold of yourself. Amen? To strengthen, the opposite of that means weak. So when you're discouraged is when you're really weak. It means, encouragement means to cure. So the opposite of that would mean you're sick. So when you're discouraged, you're sick spiritually. It also means repair. Encouragement means David repaired himself. The opposite of that would mean he was broken down. He needed some maintenance. To fortify. The opposite of that is to be unprotected. So when you're discouraged, you're open. You're just an open target without any protection, without any fortification from the enemy. Boy, isn't that the truth? The word help, David helped himself. David grew firm and hardened. The opposite of that would mean he was soft and tender and wishy-washy. If you're discouraged, you're soft and tender. Well, it doesn't take much to offend someone that's discouraged because they're soft and they're tender and they're not hardened. David said, encourage means to make firm or to harden. David, boy, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord so that when the ill circumstances of life starts gathering around us, my friend, we can take it because we've encouraged ourselves. We've made ourselves firm and hard. Not going to be quick to let things move us. But let me just deal with some of these verses I mentioned earlier where this word, the Hebrew word translated here, encouraged, is used. And the first one, and like I said, it's about 200 and something of them, and I went through 100 of them or more today. But boy, these are some good ones. First, Genesis 19 verse 16 is the first one I want to look at. Boy, it's good. Amen. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to, or just make reference of it. I'm going to read it. Chapter 19, of course, has to do of Genesis when Lot and his wife and family was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the judgment and fire, or promise of judgment, was on the way. And guess what? God sent two angels down there to get them out. You remember that story? Did I say enough to refresh your mind on it? Look at Genesis 19 and verse 16. And while he lingered, talking about Lot, having heard the message, get out of Sodom, judgment's coming. Lot didn't listen. Lot lingered. Watch this right here. And while he lingered, the men, that is the angels, here's our word, laid hold laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You say, all right, preacher, give it to him. All right, here it comes. Listen, I'll just put it to you this way. Now that word lay hold upon is the same word that's translated encourage. So what these men did to Lot was they encouraged him. When they laid hold of his hand and got his wife's hand, his daughter's hands and all of them, they were encouraging them. Amen. All right, watch this. Discouragement will cause you to dwell in the path and condition of the coming judgment. God done promised He's going to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy the cities. Discouragement will leave you there. Discouragement will leave you in the condition and the location of the upcoming judgment of God. But encouragement will lead you out. Praise God. So when we tolerate discouragement in our life, when we allow it in our life, all we're doing is positioning ourselves for chastisement. All we're doing is positioning ourselves for judgment. But encouragement will lay hold on you and lead you out. Amen. I don't know if you, it's hard to explain that, but I hope you see it. You can go to this passage and see how it's used right there and apply it to our passage because it's the same word used in both places. So I think that it's very important that we dodge discouragement because discouragement, my friend, puts us in alignment with the judgment of God. God doesn't think lightly of sin and God judges sin. It's in the Bible. Amen. But I tell you, if you allow discouragement to reign in your life, discouragement is not your friend. Discouragement, my friend, listen, it will align you with trouble with God. It'll put you in the crosshairs of the judgment of God. But encouragement will lay hold on you and lead you away from that. Well, let's move on. I hope you got that. Number two, Exodus 4 and verse 4. Boy, this is good. I thought that one was good. Exodus 4 and verse number 4. If you're there, say amen. In Exodus chapter 4, this account is Moses before Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And I'm going to read verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now you remember, if you'll have to read the verses prior to that where he took the rod in his hand and he threw it down before Pharaoh and that rod became a snake, became a viper. And then the verse I just read in verse number 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and here's our word, and caught it. And caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now if you take that scene, that particular scene, and apply it or line it up with 1 Samuel 30, because the same word is used both places, then what you find is, this, when that rod was a snake, that's when discouragement was there. But when he caught it, which is our word, it became a rod. In other words, the best way to deal with snakes, turning a snake into a rod, is to be encouraged. to leave discouragement in your life is to let a viper loose in your life. How many would you do that? How many of you would do that? If you went home tonight, Brother Frank, and there's a snake in your house, would you say, man, look at that rattlesnake. Don't bother it. It won't hurt nothing. There's enough room in this house for it and us. No, it would become top priority to either kill it or remove it. I dare say, Brother Frank, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I dare say any of the Shabduettes would pillow their head and sleep with a snake in the house. Huh? Discouragement is a snake. And we all know who a snake is in the Bible. We know who the viper is in the Bible. My friend, it's the devil. Amen? And discouragement is not of God. Don't ever try to spiritualize it. Don't ever try to justify it or excuse it. Treat it as a snake loosed in your life. Amen. That's right. So when he encouraged it, it became a rod again. A snake is dangerous and deadly. But a rod is useful. Some of you, my friend, might be discouraged tonight, and I just want you to know that discouragement, my friend, is not a pet in your life. That is a snake loose in your life. And to be encouraged, you need to catch it by the tail. Don't run from it. Don't go in the other room and hide. You gotta catch it. If you're gonna encourage it, you gotta catch it. Some of y'all are not getting this, I can tell. I can see it, and I think I've explained it, but some of y'all are looking at me like. Well, anyway, you may not get this, but if you get bit by discouragement, you'll say, oh, that's what that preacher was talking about. But I don't want you to get bit and then say, oh, that's what he was saying. No, I want you to realize discouragement, my friend, is put in your life, my friend, of the devil himself. And he's deadly. He's deadly. He's deadly. And you to translate that into 1 Samuel 30, to encourage, it means to catch it. And when you catch it by the tail, it ceases to be discouragement. And I never have been encouraged by a snake. I just never have. I've always been discouraged. I hate them. Big ones, little ones, live ones, dead ones, and rubber ones. I hate them. I hate them. Amen. I've never been encouraged. I've never been lifted up and encouraged by a snake. No. But catch it by the tail, and it'll turn it into a rod that you can use. What was once discouraging you as a snake, once you catch it or encourage it, it becomes a rod of usefulness. God wants you to use in your life what once was a discouragement. Well, the devil wouldn't put too many discouragements in your life if you would start catching them by the tail and turning them into rods that you could use for God's glory. In fact, that rod was instrumentally used of God, my friend, to lead the people of God, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The devil may put discouragements in your life, but God wants to use them. If you'll turn them in from snakes to rods, God wants to use that. I hope you got that. Well, let me give you another one. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 11 verse 8. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be, and here's our word, that you may be strong. You remember? The definition we told you several times, In fact, 48 times it's translated strong, 28 times strengthened, 14 times strengthened, 5 times stronger. So to be encouraged, my friend, brings strength into your life and makes you strong to be encouraged. And watch this, Deuteronomy 11:8. Therefore shall you keep the commandments which I have commanded you. And Moses and Joshua is talking to the people of Israel that's fixing to go into Canaan. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. So you know what encouragement is? Encouragement in this verse of Scripture is linked to obeying God's Word and entering into the Canaan life. Discouragement will never take you into Canaan. Canaan is a type of the Spirit-filled life. Discouragement will never put you there. It is encouragement that'll put you in there. Amen? Encouragement obeys God. Discouragement disobeys God. I hope you got that statement. There's an inseparable connection between discouragement and disobedience. All right, let's move on. Deuteronomy 31:6. Our word is going to be translated the first two words, be strong. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So what is it that's encouraging in this passage? If you take the word strong, same word, David encouraged himself, David strengthened himself. Be strong and of good courage, fear not. One thing that encouragement does, it does away with fear. Discouragement loves on and is fed by fear. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Watch this right here. Encouragement not only cancels out fear, but it rests in the faithful and unfailing presence of God. Because watch this, the same God that said be strong also said, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So be strong, be encouraged. Why? So it'll cancel out the fears and rest in the unfailing presence of God. Discouragement don't focus on God being with you. Discouragement focuses on problems being with you. Right. Amen. Amen? Encouragement focuses on the presence of God. Discouragement focuses on the problems. All right, let's look at something else. I don't know if y'all got that or not. 1 Samuel 17:34. All I'm doing, again, while you're turning 1 Samuel 13:34... And 35, all I'm doing is taking and looking at some of these other places that this same identical Hebrew word is that's translated in our text, encouraged. Look at other places and how it's translated and look at the setting of how it is used in those passages and apply them to encouragement. That's simple. 1 Samuel 17:34-35, we know this is the passage where David deals with Goliath, confronts Goliath. And watch this right here. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35, and I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, here comes our word, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. The word caught is the same word used in our verse of encouraged. David said, when I caught hold of the beard of that lion and bear, I was encouraged. Before that, watching the lion and the bear run off with the lamb of which he was responsible for as being a shepherd, he was discouraged. Encouragement must do something. And by the way, lest I forget it, encouraged, where David encouraged himself in the Lord, you know what that is? That's a verb. Hello, I'm not an English scholar, but I know what a verb is. It's been of several years, but is it not an action word? David encouraged himself, meaning he put some feet on what he wanted and what he needed. Amen. He didn't expect it to flop out of the sky. It was an action word. And David said right here, I defeated that lion and bear by being encouraged. I defeated that lion and bear by being encouraged. I caught him by the beard, and the word caught means same word encouraged. When I caught him, then I can kill him. I caught him. Some of you, to kill the enemy and to do damage to the enemy, you're going to have to be encouraged. The enemy's going to run off with everything if you don't get encouraged. Amen. And by the way, the Lord just showed me this. If what David did was encouragement, then what that lion and that bear was doing was discouragement. And that little lamb that was in the teeth of that lion, in the mouth of that lion and bear, guess what? If that's discouragement, then that tells me right there, discouragement does not care about what it hurts. Discouragement will take your children and put them in its mouth and take it off to feed on it. But encouragement says, uh-uh, not today, big boy. Encouragement, my friend, says, no, you're not going to do that. I love that lamb that's in your mouth. You don't care what you hurt. You can chew on it and eat it and never think twice, but it will bother me. So I'm going to be encouraged and I'm going to stop you. Well, glory. I liked it anyhow. It fed me. Encouragement defeats the enemy. Discouragement defeats you. Y'all didn't get that. Encouragement defeats the lion and bear, but discouragement will defeat you. Well, let me move on. I've got to hurry. Not only we see encouragement defined, number two, encouragement dependent. What do you mean dependent? Now, I'm just going to run through this one, get to the last one. Simply the fact is that the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. When it got hard and tough and rough, David depended upon the encouragement. It was a big matter to David to get encouraged. David was saying basically in his actions that if I don't get encouraged, I'll not be able to handle this situation. David depended much and greatly upon getting encouragement from the Lord. Boy, that's good. I'm telling you, that's good. What you turn to reveals your dependence. When you go through something and what you turn to, my friend, what you resort to, my friend, is what you depend on. And how many people, my friend, when they go through a thick and a hard time, do they turn but to the Lord? They'll turn to the flesh and they'll turn, my friend, to sin and they'll turn to this and that and the other. My friend, why? To try to cope with it when the Lord is our only hope. By David depending greatly upon being encouraged from the Lord is showing that he was depending on the Lord. David, listen to this. David kept his eye on his spirituality and was quick to notice the incoming of discouragement and the need of encouragement. Discouragement is so snakily, and that's not a word, but it fits. Let me give you a word that is. It's so snake-like. Discouragement is so sneaky and conniving and slippery. Discouragement, my friend, if you're not careful, will done have a root hold in your life before you're even alarmed about it. How many services will you have to go through and not hear from God and not have the presence of God warm your soul before it bothers you? How many services would you sit in and it dead is 4 o'clock, my friend, before it starts bothering you? Pay attention. Keep your eye on your spirituality and you ought to be quick. You ought to be the first one to notice when discouragement starts slipping in. And be responsible to do something about it. Because it's not coming in to bless. Discouragement's not coming into your life from the Spirit of God. The discouragement's not coming into your life from the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the house of God, the work of God, the will of God, none of those things will put discouragement in you. With very little investigation, you can discover discouragement, buddy, is from the devil and comes through the flesh and the carnal nature. Well, amen. What you turn to reveals your dependence. David knew that his only hope of help and help was to be found in what he could get from the Lord. Let me deal with this last one. Not only encouragement defined, encouragement dependent, but also encouragement divine. Encouragement divine. That is, David said that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, like that. Encouragement is found in God. You say, but preacher, it's a bad day. It's a discouraging day. It's difficult days. Everywhere you look, it's distressful and it's distracting and all of that. And yes, amen, it is. It surely is. I wouldn't dare stand up here and say everything's hunky-dory and we're in the greatest revival it's ever been, like some of the things you hear on television. You hear some of them big mega churches and you'll think that we're in the greatest move of God that's ever been. Well, they must be keeping it hemmed up in their, on their zip code, because it's not in 28772. It's not here. 38, what is ours? 38757. That first one I gave was my home in North Carolina. So it's not there nor here. Amen. It ain't been where I've lived. That's right. I'm surprised I even remember that zip code. It's been so long as I've been there. Yes, it is difficult days. God's people are going through it, buddy. Thick, I mean, the pressure is on. It's a fact, isn't it? You'd have to have your head stuck in the sand to say differently. We're in difficult days financially, economically, nationally, internationally. We're in difficult days spiritually. You just add to the list, and everywhere you look, it's difficult. Paul said it this way, Timothy said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous means demonic, difficult, dark, depressing. But God's people are not of the night. We are of the day. Amen. And though it's dark around us, praise God, God's people are hooked up with Jesus. Amen. And you talking about something that'll impress and influence sinners is to see you going through what they're going through, and yet they see you encouraged. And they're liable to even ask you, what's the deal? What's the secret? I know you're working at the same plant we are, and you got the same problems we do, and I know you live in the same area we do, and you're under the same economic pressure that we are, but yet I notice you're smiling, and yet I notice you keep coming in here with a song, and I notice you at your house, and I see you out in town, and I don't see depression, and I don't see discouragement. I see someone encouraged. What's the secret? And you'll be able to say, look, my encouragement is not carnal. My encouragement is not social. My encouragement is not financial. My encouragement is not circumstantial. My encouragement is spiritual. I get my encouragement from the Lord. Amen. Well, encouragement is divine. Let me give you this right quick, and I'm just gonna run through here. Y'all getting done for me. But here's the things I want to give you about this encouragement being divine. Number one, quickly, write it down. Number one, There was a divine resource in his encouragement. A divine resource. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You see that? So there's a divine resource. Not the flesh, not the world, but the Lord. Not people, but the Lord. Not places, but the Lord. A divine resource. We preached that this morning and tonight over and over. Amen. There's no bank that you can go to and borrow or withdraw encouragement. Why? It cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought. Amen. Encouragement is divine. There's a divine resource. Watch this one. Here comes one. There's a divine relationship in it. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Can I say this? This wasn't the first time David encouraged himself. I didn't write it down, but I guarantee you I could add another one here to this. Encouragement is divine. I guarantee you there was a divine remembrance. It's not there in our text, but you know good and well, David got encouraged in the Lord as he made a roll call of the blessings of God back through his life. 1 Samuel 30 is the same book that 1 Samuel 17 is in, my friend, when he dealt with Goliath. Draw strength from some of those past blessings in your life that you watch God work. Amen. Don't focus on negative things. Don't focus on things that you don't really have an explanation for. Focus on things that are definites. Things that are factual. Things that are definite. Amen? Praise God. If you ever kill a giant, don't forget it. You might need to remember that in the days to come. When you're being overwhelmed and being attacked from everything and every direction, you might need to remember, praise God, that there was a time in my life that I dealt with a lion and a bear, and that old Philistine giant will be just like one of them. Don't ever lose your confidence in the Lord. A divine resource, a divine relationship. When other relationships, my friend was speaking of stoning him, he found encouragement in his spiritual relationship with God. Let me say this right here. I'll be done in just a minute. I've done a lot of studying on this. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You better make sure, and by the way, the Lord just showed me, you better make sure that you don't wait till you get in a discouraging time to start trying to have a relationship with God. David, my friend, encouraged himself in the Lord his God in the fact that he had a relationship before the pressure ever got on him. You better have a relationship as did Daniel and as did the three Hebrew children with the Lord of glory before the fiery furnace ever comes into your life. Well, praise God anyhow. A divine resource, a divine relationship. And then verse number 8, a divine request. Do you see it? And David inquired of the Lord. Well, we got to back up. Let's back up. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord. That ephod, my friend, was that breastplate garment that was the priest wore when it was time to deal with God over a crisis. Them, all them men that had stones in their hand wanting to stone David, guess what David put on? David put on his prayer garment. Hey man, they thought their answer was in a stone. Boy, this is good right here, Lord, just showing me. They thought that what they needed to do was to throw a stone at somebody. They thought, man, if I can just hit somebody with a stone, David in particular, I'll feel good. Hey man, but instead, David knew that the answer was not in a stone. But David knew that his answer was in supplication. So David, my friend, put on the ephod, the garment of prayer, where he would show everybody that saw him, I'm getting serious about this matter, and I'm going to pray about it. Now watch this right here. I'll be done in a second. Just get you a good deep breath. We'll be done. Jesus may come for our next service. What's this? Wearing that ephod was a very public, visible, and evident sign that he was getting serious with God in prayer. In discouraging times, David made a big deal about having big directions from God. Under pressure, David pursued the spiritual. He knew better than to listen to his feelings, his fears, or his friends or foes. You better not let those things get in the driver's seat of your life. Listen, when you're discouraged, discouraging times, discouraging circumstances, you cannot listen to your feelings. You cannot listen, my friend, to how you feel. You can't listen to your fears. You can't listen to your foes or your friends, even your friends a lot of times, or your family even sometimes. But you can always listen to the Father. Praise God. The reason he inquired of the Lord is because he required something from the Lord. You know why we don't pray? Or as I'll just use the verse and use the word in verse 8. The reason we don't inquire of the Lord is because we're not really requiring anything of the Lord. Lord, give me this, Brother Chuck. Listen to this. When you look at the situation in 1 Samuel 30, city burnt, wives, children, all gone, stolen. You know what my thought would be on that, Brother Ivan? What is there to pray about? Let's go, boys. That would have been just look at it. That would have been my concept. Well, what's there to pray about? Somebody has come into our territory. Somebody has invaded our town, burned our town, and stolen our family. What is there to pray about? Let's go. David is showing us that even when it looks like the circumstances will just dictate what you need to do, David is showing us you still need to pray about it. Because it's going to mean something to you. When you're out there hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, it's going to mean something to you when you can say in your heart, God said, go. Because when the thick gets on and the difficulty's at an all-time high and the battle is raging, you'd be surprised what you'll question. You'll be surprised what you'll question. But David wanted to have a word from God before he went. David wanted to have leadership before he went. David wanted to have direction before he went. How important is that to you? How important is that to me to have direction from God before we embark on something, to do something? Especially dealing with encouragement. It meant something to David to be able to say, God said. Amen. I've preached this. I've preached it so much. But I don't, whether anybody gets it or not, I don't know. But I always reference Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what Jesus is saying there? Just like you've got to have food physically to live, you've got to have a word from God spiritually to live. How big and how important is it to have leadership from God? You young people need to learn that early in life. Because if you're saved, you are not your own. You belong to another. And he has rights and say so in your life. And yes, you do need to pray about what is the Lord's will for your life. Where does He want you to go? What does He want you to do? Who does He want you to marry? I could help the Lord out with that one just a little bit. Especially in some of the general areas. If a person has not got an established church life, if they do not have a testimony that's backed up with fruit, they're not even to be considered. If they don't have a clear, definite testimony, they're saved and love God and have lived it and got fruit to verify it, they're not even to be looked at. Don't even let them call your phone number. Amen. Like I said, I could help you out with some of the general, just the general specifics. I may not could put my hand on the shoulder and say, now this is the man or this is the woman, but I could lay out some guidelines for you to at least be able to say, you know what? If they don't line up with this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, then they're not even a candidate to be a companion. But preacher, they're pretty and he's handsome and he's a hunk. He won't be at 60. Yeah. But she's very pretty. She's Miss America in a young body. Well, that won't be long. Amen. And the devil's against the home and the devil's against marriage. We all know that. God help, friend. But it helps me to know that God said, had leadership. But anyway, let God lead you. There's a divine request. David inquired of the Lord. And then number four, there was a divine response. David said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? David wasn't so hard-headed and headstrong. He said, look, God, no matter what your will is, and it don't matter what you think, I'm going after them. We're going after them. But it sure meant something to God for David to take the time to pray about the situation. And I tell you why he prayed. Lord, just showed me just now. Because I asked a while ago, well, why even pray about it? It looks like it's a done deal. Your wife and children's gone. Get with it. Get your guns and go after them. But I found out just now, Lord revealed it to my heart, that I come around through there, why David prayed. David wanted to get in the spiritual shape he needed to be in before he went. Amen. To go into a battle discouraged is automatic defeat because you can't think straight and your head's on crooked. Amen. And when you go in there dealing with the enemy, it'll be your rage in leadership and you know what the end result of that'll be. Why did David pray? Is the Lord's will for him to get his wife and children back and all those men get their families back? You know it's the Lord's will. Why did David pray? Lord showed me. David prayed to get in a spiritual shape. He knew those men wasn't in spiritual shape. They was wanting to kill him. David knew as to be a leader, I've got to make sure that I am in the spiritual condition I need to be in to lead this people according to the leadership of God. Amen. A lot of our praying deals with getting us in shape, keeping us in shape. And then last of all, number five, there's a divine recovery. Shall we pursue? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Amen. And you can read the story. David did that. David went after them. The Lord worked providentially in there with that Egyptian they found laying out there in the field. Told him exactly where he was at and what the plan was. God was working. When David got right and prayed about it, when he started, guess what he found? He found one of the very enemy's soldiers laying out there in the field half dead. And instead of David killing him, David befriended him and fed him. And he got his strength back. And David said, how about switching sides? How about joining up with us? Do you know where they're at? Do you know what their plans are? Yeah, I know exactly what their plans are. Come on, I'll lead you to them. You get to pray and get right with God about it, my friend. God will put some direction in your life. And you'll see God working providentially. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to know the will of God, to know the mind of God. Lord, I believe without any shadow of a doubt, dear Father, what you have said to my heart, Lord, about this David encouraging himself in the Lord. I know we've covered a lot of ground this morning and tonight, but Lord, help people to recall and remember God. Lord, help people to respond, dear Father. Lord, I'm asking you now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your will be done. Cleanse us, God, from every and all sin. And may your will be done in our life. Lord, let people deal with things in their life, Lord, that needs to be dealt with tonight.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.